Okay, so it's recorded again, and so I guess we're going to topic two with the technical stuff on the dev server.
Yeah. So you want me to share again?
Yeah. So your dev server is your local machine at the moment?
No, I'm actually on my laptop. I think this is I Eldon, were you able to shell in with that key?
Yes, to the main server, not the dev server.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Cool, as long as that's expected.
Yeah, okay, good. So Eldon can shell in, but I'll go ahead and do it on with the file browser rather than the shell. So this is the main EC2 instance. And it might be the only one you need. We can talk about that later, but so it's Ubuntu. I think I put in the notes that or somewhere that it's 2020 or 2204, which has just come up for an upgrade, which should work fine. My dev server and my laptop, I'm running newer versions of Ubuntu, Postgres, and MapServe. So if you guys decide to upgrade now or later, I think everything will work just fine. In other words, I'm running Ubuntu 2204 in production, but everything runs fine on 2404. I'm running Postgres 15, but it works fine in 16. I'm running MapServe 7.6, but it works fine with 8.2. And I'm running PHP, whatever is 7.1, it works with 7.3 or whatever. So don't be concerned if you look at those versions. And I got OpenLayers 10.0. So,
Oh, okay. That's good. I just upgraded this Ubuntu server with a version upgrade from Ubuntu 20 to 22, and that worked. So it gave me a Postgres 14, which is the newest I ever ran so far.
well, yeah, then that's fine. I'm ahead of you in some regards. So the main thing with MapServer 8 is that there's a new well, we can look at it. Here we go. So this is the root of the production server, and pretty much everything's under RWG. RWG is my initials, and so it's a namespace I use a fair bit.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, there's just a small handful of settings under, pretty much under etc for just trivial things like log rotation and whatnot. But by and large, well, I'll certainly contradict myself a few times here. One of the important things, is in Ubuntu under Apache sites enabled, and you may need to fiddle with this a little bit. So, like in a default server, you have what they call a site. And so under etc Apache, this is a symlink that I'll show you in a second that goes to RWG config. And then these are symlinks to all the counties. So yeah, there are a couple things under etc that are important. So RWG, so config is the symlink that I just showed you is a symlink to the Apache config. And we may as well take a look at it for a second. One of the things that you may have to, depending on what you're doing with your Ubuntu server, is this is setting the root directory somewhere here. Yeah, so it sets the document root. I don't, you know, if you're trying to do a bunch of other stuff on your dev server, you may need to fiddle with that a little bit. In other words, this file is not an SVN and shouldn't be. So it may not be a big deal for you, but there is some stuff in there that'll be pretty important to you. On this server, I'm using Let's Encrypt certificates. So obviously you'd need to get your own Let's Encrypt certificates.
I come back in a second, need to open the door.
Sure. I mean, I've got decent comments on most of this. Eldon, have you used Apache much?
Yeah, and Let's Encrypt my own server actually. So this is fairly familiar.
Good. Okay. I think I've got decent comments on a lot of this stuff. The AWS, that's necessary to read S3 buckets.
Makes sense.
And I put a lot of the large files in S3 buckets, like the raster imagery. So that's the S3. GDAL. These are just some optimizations. I don't know how important they are that I picked off the GDAL list. And then there's the document root. I don't think this is necessary. This is my Let's Encrypt certificates. I redirect all port 80 traffic to 443 encrypted.
Yep.
But I think you have to still have this for Let's Encrypt.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's how you demonstrate that you actually own that domain.
Yeah.
So the only other thing I was trying to find in here real quick is that thing from App Server 8. Let me see.
Yeah, I found out that for Map Server 8, I didn't deal with that before, but then I had, because I was using Map Server for Windows on a client's server, and that had Map Server 8, and there was some special config file that I didn't know before.
Right. I may not have it set on my production server. Give me one second here and I will go to it's not something you need to deal with right away, but it's important.
Are you also using Mapcache for some things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh boy, I think my internet's not letting me on my dev server right now. Okay, well, I guess I'm still on the production server, so we'll skip that. You know what I'm talking about. There's a new config file, and I have created it, and I've verified that all my map files are compatible with 8. as long as you plug that into your server. So in the config, we don't need that. I'm using Mapcache. I'm skipping over these ones that aren't relevant. I'm using Mapcache a little bit. And this is kind of a kludgy way that I'm storing some of the user credentials. And here's a symlink to the PHP INI. I've got pretty, pretty limited number of changes there. And again, my initials are RWG. So a lot of times when I make changes to a distribution config or something like that, I stick an RWG in the comments, which makes it easy. So you can just search for RWG and you'll generally find any change. In other words, you can do a diff, I guess, but anyway. And this is the AWS simple email service config, and I don't think that you'll need to deal with it. I think we're only using that on one project. It's going to go away the end of the month. So anyway, that's the config directory. The htdocs is the root. And in other words, that's the document root that was set there. And there's a fair amount of cruff in here that we can ignore. The index.html, of course, is that thing I was showing you initially that has my, my counties and whatnot. And so, when you go to production, you're going to want to change the index.html here and probably some other stuff. The API we can look at, the CSS, a lot of the shared static resources I put in S3, but I probably do have a couple here. So there's a little bit of SCS stuff. This is probably mostly legacy stuff. There's not a whole lot in there. There's, honestly, I don't think I'm using any of this. I think we use a little bit of jQuery, not on the main production servers, but in a couple cases where we need to use data tables. Have you ever used data tables, the jQuery add-on?
Yeah.
It's
yeah, we actually use that pretty heavily in our product.
It's pretty cool. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it still requires jQuery, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, we use jQuery anyways. I'm worried about that.
Okay. The jQuery, as I look at this, I don't think that I'm actually using anything in here. We use the CDN for jQuery. Like I say, a lot of our resources that are static, I put in S3. Have you used Data Tables Editor?
Not so far.
That's a paid add-on that makes your data table editable. It's sweet. I mean, it's just as nice as the rest of data tables. So obviously, well, not obviously, they have a way that they embed the key in it. And so you can't use a CDN for it, but we've got that in the S3. Well, we can explore the S3 at some point too. The Mapcache, like I said, don't use it very much. But I have one instance with one county where it's proven to be really beneficial. And I don't think it needs too much attention. Map server is a little bit of a weird name. But it's got a few static resources that are shared. And then the main thing here is this gwmap.html, and it's the template for the whole map server. In other words, the container for everything we were looking at earlier. Mm-hmm. And since we're just looking at the server right now, we'll swing back to that later, but it has to be With what I'm doing with Apache, it has to be in a web accessible location. Some of this stuff is outdated and can go away. These are the templates that I use for that print layout. Like I mentioned, I have, depending on what they've chosen, I've got a bunch of fixed position divs. So map server, again, that's one of those ones where I probably could have picked a better name. TML is going to go away. That's one of Carol's projects. Carol is a programmer who's worked for me for ages. And she doesn't do spatial, but she does a little bit of the other stuff. And we'll introduce you at some point or do something. And tools are just a couple dinky tools that that are for public that help solve curves and some really rudimentary stuff. In other words, not stuff that you guys really need to worry about. Not tools that we use in production. Tools for users who are maybe putting parcels into a map or something like that. So anyway, the HT docs is the root directory and doesn't really have a significant amount of stuff in it or a significant amount of stuff going on with it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then logs, you know, the name says it all. I got a couple symlinks to the Apache and Postgres logs just to find them really quick. And then the rest of them are for the different projects. So the Apache log just goes to the var Apache 2. Postgres just goes to the main Postgres log. Housing is a project that's going away at the end of the month. Main is maintenance, which is what I call the nightly process, both on individual counties and here. And so this is just an out file. The cron tab runs it. The cron job runs it each night. And so the standard out for each county goes here. So we, you know, rarely ever need to look at it, but the standard error will bubble up to the email that goes out. I guess we can look at the cron tab really quick. Well, nothing's really quick today. You guys even hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, do it need a dash L?
Oh, of course. Sorry. Here I was blaming on my internet. Thank you, Eldon. So this is the main thing that runs Monday through Friday night. This is for another project. We can talk about it at a different time. And then this runs once a week. It creates a snapshot. So by virtue of having the mail to info@greenwoodmap.com, it means that the cron job will send an email. And then by virtue of redirecting the standard output to those individual files, they get logged. And so then only standard error will go to the email. So it makes it really easy in the morning. I, you know, get the email. I guess I could show you one really quick. So this is what actually I see. And in this case, it's kind of nice because there's no errors.
Okay, so you get something whether it succeeds or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ideally, all I see is the timing for each county, how long their script took to run. And then if
Pretty
there's,
quick, the script.
yeah, it actually ultimately it takes like close to half hour. Yeah, it starts at 2, so it takes close to half hour to get through everything. But it does a backup of each county, a Postgres backup, and it errors pop go into it. So.
So in that shell script maintenance SH, there is all these individual, data loader scripts kind of.
Yep. So again, on the left side here, we're on the production server. And there's only two users here, and you guys will log in as this. And so in the bin directory is the main script. And so you can see what it's doing is it echoes anything here, standard out or standard error goes into that email. But it's gonna hard to be linear here because I'm jumping around like crazy. But anyway, for Albany County, it's gonna set an environment variable for the start time, and then it's gonna run the maintenance shell script, and it's gonna send standard out to the log, and then it's gonna figure out how long it took, and it's gonna echo that, and standard error will go to the email. So you'll want to change, and I'm sure I will remind you of this. You'll want to change that cron job so that the email goes to you guys, not me, after October 1st. So I think I probably have a couple shell scripts under the GWM app user in the bin directory that might still be relevant. And I'll try to clean up some of this stuff. I mean, just as I look at it, I see stuff that you guys won't want. But that's, so GWM app is the generic shared user. I don't think I really have any. I get rid of the Ubuntu user just for security reasons. So again,
One
most.
question about the email is, did you have to set up an SMTP server to send that email, or is that different in some way?
Yeah, it's just the Linux send mail, I believe. We do use on this one project, this housing department project that's going to end at the end of the month, we do use the Amazon Simple Email Service, SES. But for the cron job, you just set up the. I'm 90% sure I'm saying that correctly. It's send mail, but then there's another one called Postman, and sometimes I mix those up. But anyway, it's a pretty basic little thing that just sends it's an I think it's outgoing only, or I think I only have it configured as outgoing only.
Okay, but that's only on the production server. On the dev server, we don't need any email sending, right?
It doesn't matter. I mean, I have it on my dev server, but
Well, I was just thinking because the production server will be on AWS, whereas our dev server is just on Hetzner hosting. So basically, I don't have any AWS stuff on there. So.
yeah, but it doesn't care. I mean, for outgoing, I shouldn't say it doesn't care totally, but if your hosting service allows outgoing,
We have full, it's a full physical root server, so.
okay. Well, the deal is that the send mail command line shell script, it's not even shell script, the Linux send mail, you install it with just a apt install, and so then it's sending it out. And greenwoodmap.com, I use the Google email service, so even though it's sending to greenwoodmap.com, it's sending to a Google server, and then the Google server is the one that then does the additional negotiation with my mail client, checks for spam, checks for viruses, whatnot. So all the send mail thing does is, you know, basically chucks it out there to the server. And so it's not a big deal. Do whatever you want. But this is all set up. And so I think on, you know, October 1st or thereabouts, all you'd need to do is go into that cron job and switch the address, and then you should start receiving the nightly emails. Oh, and then the other thing, don't let me get diverged too much, but the other thing in that, occasionally I have to set a reboot, but not very often. This is another project that, like I say, we'll talk about later. It's a river registration program, and their season is going to wrap up in October. So we're just going to leave that as it is. And then I will talk with them and talk with you about how we move forward with it. It's a pretty simple little program. In other words, that's this line here, Snake River.
Yeah.
But this runs weekly, and it creates a new snapshot of the server, and it reboots the server at the same time. So you don't generally need to schedule a reboot, because when you create a snapshot by default, it'll reboot. And the thing to remember is that those guys keep accumulating, and you know, you start paying more for them. And so depending on how anal you are, you may want to keep one backup or 20, but remember to eventually clean out your snapshots. And the weird thing, yep. Eldon's nodding, he probably already knows this.
I've run this kind of problem before.
Okay. The snapshot's still there, even though you released the AMI. So anyway, it's only 32 gigs, so it's not like going to hit your pocketbook really hard. But it is a little peculiarity of AWS that you need to keep an eye on. Okay, so coming back to logs really quick. Housing goes away, maintenance, MapServe, there's very little going on with it. PHP, there's very little going on with it. Snake River is the thing I talked about. And Treasure, there's very little going on with it. So the logs is no big deal. The SVN repos, these are the bigger deals, so I'm going to spend more time on them. The SVN repo is here. And so if you want to check stuff out, the way I'm doing it is with an SSH. Like if I go I'm just on my laptop here, and if I go so you know, you can have SVN GUI clients, or you can do it from the shell. And either way, you have to connect to a remote repository. And so this thing right here tells me everything I need to know. And so it's SVN via SSH. So Eldon can use the credentials or the shared key that he's already got. And so like if I want to go to so SVN checkout, so created the Albany directory. And you've got everything that's in SVN for Albany County. But that doesn't mean that Albany County is ready to run yet, because you don't have the data and you don't have password stuff, a couple config files and passwords. So that's one way to do it. I think in that shared Google Notes with the agenda, I also said you could rsync. And I'd suggest rsyncing the main this mount directory to your dev server, because then you'll get everything. You'll get the data, you'll get the passwords, and you'll get everything that's SVN, and you'll get the SVN config stuff. Okay, Elton, you're nodding your head. Does that kind of make
That makes sense. So the one thing is, I think we probably will convert the repositories to Git, just because that's what we're familiar with.
I'm sorry, you say that again?
We probably will end up converting the repositories over to Git, just because that's the tool we're familiar with.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I would expect, you know, it's one of those things I've thought about doing for years. But like I said in my email, it's like, man, I started with CSV, and then I learned SVN, and it's like the cost benefit wasn't there for me. But yeah, for sure, I'd move to Git.
I think probably we make it work with SVN first, and once we get to know that one, then we can work on converting it at some point.
Yeah, there's tools. I don't know if you followed the GDAL dev list, but those guys have done it. I mean, I got into SVN because that's what was happening when I was doing this stuff. And, you know, with Steve Lime and all those guys, that, you know, but for sure there's scripts. And also, interestingly, for the GUIs, in my experience, I don't know, I'm not sure I know the best GUIs for version control systems, but a lot of them will work with both. You know, so if you're already using a GUI for Git, you might find that it actually works with SVN also, that it supports it. Like the GUI I'm using is called Tortoise SVN.
Oh, I've used that some years back.
It works with Git too, if I'm correct.
I'm not 100% sure, but we will find out.
Actually, I lied. It's not Tortoise, it's Rabbit.
I use Tortoise, but yeah, what is the other name I said?
Rabbit SVN.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, I think I misspoke. That one I know supports, you know, like seamlessly, right? Like all the commands that you use. You know, you could have a Git repo and an SVN repo, and you'd use the same commands against them, you know, where the commands are common for the basic stuff, like, you know, commit and checkout and so on. So again, the main thing, like if you were using a script to convert the repo from SVN to Git or something like that, the main thing you need is just SVN info for each repo, and then it tells you, you know, by saying SHH, it's using your shared key, it's telling you the user, it's telling you the directory, and well, the server and directory, and then the individual repo within it. So again, that's the SVN repos. And then there's a couple little exceptions in here. You know, most of these are the counties. And a couple of these can go away, but I don't want to do that until you guys take over. Okay, so the GW map one, in other words, most of these are going to be under that main working directory, which I haven't shown you yet. But this one and this one, the GW map is the open layers code, or whatever you want to call it. It's got the D-Legend stuff. It's got, I think I shared that with you previously. It's got all of the JavaScript code and so on. And so it's not a county or project specific. It's the shared JavaScript. And then the shared directory is this SVN repo is this directory here. So it's got most of the PHP stuff in it.
So was the other one just a link, or what was it?
These are the repos.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't see anything in them. I mean, it's all compressed.
Okay.
Garbly gook. It's just that, you know, I've got a separate repo for every project, which is, you know, basically counties. In other words, there's no point of me drilling down on these repos because it's compressed stuff. So every county or client or project, however you want to say it, has its own repo. There's a few in here that are abandoned or historic, but this one and this one are shared code, not project specific.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, so finally, the main one here is, again, a poor name, but it's historic. It's called MNT. When I started doing multiple counties, I actually had a separate PBS for each one and mounted it separately. And so hence the name mount. And now, well, pretty quickly, I realized that that was a stupid way of doing it. But it was just way too much hassle to change it. So forgive the name. MNT is where each of the projects, individual projects, live. And again, let's do sublet because it's got a little more going on with it than the others. So there will always be a data directory, and it's largely shape files. And in some cases, there'll be a some link to raster, and there'll be potentially a few other things, but the data is self-explanatory, I guess. And there will be, well, let me skip around a little bit. There will always be an Apache config. And so, like, when we're first looking at, I showed you in the etc Apache 2 directory, in the sites enabled, that there is a symlink to each one of these for the county. And so this is it. And this is one of the more complex ones. It has more stuff going on with it. But we're like, the main one we were just looking at earlier was map. Okay. So you go sublet, map, server, map. And so that's where it fetches the HTML template that's shared amongst all users. And then we also looked at Assessor. And so again, this is what the user puts in their browser. And then again, it's fetching this shared code. Do you want to drill down any deeper on that, or do you want to keep the high level?
Oh, what do you think, Alan? I'm just trying to digest this stuff because there's many different ways in Apache to do stuff. I've not used much rewrite rule, so I'm just digesting some things. So.
Yeah, I think relatively high level makes sense, because as we start to look at this, we'll end up with inevitably questions we don't foresee right now.
Very good. So, like I said, this is probably the worst one that has the, you know, most complexity to it. But what we're doing is the Apache rewrite lets us use, you know, clean URLs, and it lets us access shared code. And then one of the naming conventions I have is to put a hyphen dev on the end of it to get into a dev version. And you know, so OpenLayers, I use Webpack, you know, that's what goes in production. But I also have a dev version of OpenLayers that's uncompressed and is real handy for stepping through the JavaScript. And so I've got a nifty little rewrite rule that lets me open a given project with the OpenLayers dev code. So all we're doing, like I say, this one's the most complex. If a county has multiple things like the assessor toolkit, this one has one called Public Works. It has a couple other third-party ones that, you know, you define the URL in the Apache config and then it does a rewrite.
So basically is in the symbolic link, then, you know, always a link to this individual directory, and they're always called generically apache.conf, but in the simple link they're, you know, albany.conf or stuff like that.
Exactly. So I'll just show it to you again really quick. So that's in the standard Ubuntu sites enabled directory. And so this is my homepage stuff that you'll need to edit a little bit, you know, with your domain and your certificates. And then for each county, it's going to that, you know, everything starts with the root of RWG, and then MNT is where the projects are, and then the county, and then each one of them has their own Apache config. The other thing in the Apache config, I think I should have shown you, is it sets the map file. You guys use that, right? Where you don't put a full path to your map file. You use an environment variable, right?
No,
yeah, I was do put full paths, but I can see why you've done it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you shouldn't use full paths. That's considered bad practice right now.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've done that so far, but so can you choose this map 23? Is that you define that, or is that something generally used?
Each county has their own environment variable, right? So,
oh, it's just map 23.
Well, the naming convention's a little weird. Well, it's abbreviated. Let me show you what it looks like. Just, like, I think, sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit, but bear with me for a moment. Yeah, so this is the master Apache config, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And this environment variable, ms map no path, if you set it to anything, in other words, if it's an environment variable that's set, it prevents anybody, you or an attacker, from putting a full path to your map file. And I got a link here, obviously, in the comments, and you can read what they say about it. But this is considered best practice, and it's considered a security it's considered bad security to have the full path in the URL. So if I go,
so it just replaces the pass with this, with your alias kind of.
Yeah.
No, I've heard that. I just never bothered to change it so far.
I'm trying to get, I swear this. See, I can't click on any of this stuff. I swear it's Zoom. Let me, all right, I don't want to waste time here. I don't know if you can see what I'm doing here. I'm trying to click on
it. Okay, it doesn't want to cooperate for some reason.
No, I can't seem to access any of these tabs. You know what a map server request looks like. And so basically.
Yeah, I know exactly. Eldon does too.
It's going to be a map equal, and then it's going to say
map equal, and then you have the path or the map file, and then you have
right. So
you know request and all the other parameters.
Right. So where you have map equal the full path, I have an environment variable called map 23 or 20 or 19, and so for the ones in Wyoming. They're numeric. Every county in Wyoming has a number, just like you guys got on your license plate in Washington. I think you have letters or something, but it was just an easy way to keep it short. So every individual county's Apache config sets an environment variable for the map file. And it also sets the root directory for that county so that, in other words, this county can have an index.php or it could have an index.html or whatever. And then these are just.
One thing I wanted to ask is on the dev server and on the production server, the directory structure the same or are you using different ones?
Identical.
Identical. Okay.
I mean, even on my laptop, it just makes it so much easier. I mean, I try to keep it so it's relatively portable, but I mean, I keep that in the back of my mind. But
so basically, when we are pulling to the dev server, and if we would, at least for now, should probably follow the same thing because then we don't need to change things we don't know so much about. So we should mirror that at least initially. And I don't know, down the road, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Might change it or not.
I agree.
But
and that's why I was
main directories, then we should have most of the things, you know, RWG and then the directories you showed. So for the moment, you know, if we don't check out the, I mean, the repos, if, you know, that's, you know, if we copy these things, then we have most of the stuff on the dev server, I guess.
Right. So, Karsten, if you, you know, again, so this is really the Linux server. So if you want to get up and running relatively quickly, just rsync this whole folder. And I would suggest rsyncing it straight to the root of your dev server. You're not going to have any naming conflicts.
Yeah.
If you're offended by that, like if you have a...
Well, I think that's fine.
If you have a directory hierarchy, like if you like to have sir, I know some people like to have, you know, put it under var, put it under server, put it under this or put it under that, go for it. But if you're not offended by just sticking it in the root, just rsync rwg from my server to yours, and... that's the path of least resistance.
I would do that initially at least, and we can down the road we can still do other things if we ever need to.
Yeah.
Right. Do whatever feels right, but that's actually the fastest way. You'll still have to do a couple things in ETC to get it pointed to the root directory and pointed to the individual counties. And you can remote in, you can shell into the my production server, and you can just copy and paste all those sim links. I mean, seriously, you can go like, well, no, not seriously. You can't quite just copy and paste them, but you would have to recreate these sim links.
Yeah, but same thing.
But if you just, with some quick copy or search and replace in a text editor, you could take this stuff here.
And make your links and from there.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I
then
would
you.
do that. There's enough moving parts to get it working, and once we have a better understanding of this, then I don't want to deal with like stupid, I missed that one directory thing, and not and spend hours on trying to make it work.
Right. So there will still be a couple things.
I think the main thing to figure out is the Apache config, because I have a couple of other things running on there. It's not important, but need to figure that one out. But other than that, installing a
Well,
couple of things, and that should be pretty simple.
again, everything here, if you rsync it to RWG on the root of your server, all these sim links will work. And don't mess with this one, which is the master one, because you already have a document root. And so if you rsync this and then create these sim links, you'll be up and running a little bit. I mean, you should definitely get an index.html for each one of those, and there should be no conflicts with any of your existing stuff on that server, right? Because the path is going to be domain and then slash Albany, Bighorn, Carbon, and so on. The only place where you'd have a conflict would be if you tried to copy and paste this, because it's going to set the root directory and mess everything up for you. But none of these depend on your root directory. So wherever you have your root and whatever other projects you got going there, there's no conflict there. So then the next thing that won't work, and it'll do some decent stuff with permissions and so on. Just think about who you are when you rsync it, and what your user ID is. But again, it's pretty easy. If you blow it the first time, just blow away the directory and do it again with the correct user ID.
So
So.
one question, you said you showed the directories, and there was shapefiles and stuff. So how is it with the database? Does the dev server have a full version of the database, or is it just calling the production server to get that stuff?
No, it's got a separate database. That's a good question. We can do this. I might schedule this tonight. The way I do that, or I might have one. Hang on, let's see.
But then that means we need to import the database there as well, and to have it running and
Yeah.
set the users and so on.
Yeah. Let me write myself a note here. Hang on. What I'll do, I think this will work fine. I'll do a PG dump all into this directory. So what I've got on this EC2 instance is I've got a 32 gig root directory or root volume that's some kind of SSD solid state drive. And it's got the database and it's got most of the data on it. And then I've got a spinning, I forget what they call it, but a much less expensive EB2 elastic block storage is what Amazon calls their, virtual drives. And so you can buy, solid state ones, and you can buy spinning ones, and have about three or four categories of spinning, hard drives with different performance and cost. And so in the mount directory, I have an, well, actually, I should show you. So F is the it's a 500 gig, I believe, spinning volume, and the main thing I have on it is some raster files. They're large. In other words, I don't want to pay for the solid state storage because it's so much more expensive. And then these are symlinks. No, I'm sorry. These are mounts to S3 storage. There's a pretty cool fuse connector that lets you mount S3 volumes, or S3 buckets, I should say, like as if they're a file system.
Okay, I had no idea that exists.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I guess it doesn't show too clearly here, but I labeled it raster, the volume, and so it gets mounted in F. Sorry, I know I had a reason for naming it that made sense, but I can't remember right off the top of my head. Anyway, in the mount directory, there's two different S3 buckets. One is for a bunch of shared stuff, and one is for just dedicated solely to Postgres backups. And then the F is this 500 gig volume, and in it there's not much that I'm really using this for at this point, but in the temp directory, I'll run a PG dump all, and then I'll gzip it tonight. I just write myself a note, and so you can grab it and then do a PG restore, and you will get basically this.
So you do the dump everything and then you put it in there.
Yeah, and you will get some new users. I don't think any of those will collide with you. In other words, you already have a Postgres user, and so you'll get an error when you do the restore that says Postgres already exists. It's not even there. It's like a warning. And for all these standard ones, it's already going to exist. For the ones that are for my projects, you'll get the users and you'll get the databases.
Is there any
And
extensions that you need apart from PostGIS?
yeah, foreign data wrappers and GDAL foreign data wrappers. Yeah.
Okay, I know that. I know.
But I don't think I have any other extensions.
No, like H store or something like that.
No. Again, I've grabbed the most complex one. I have PG routing on here, but I don't really use it.
Okay.
That's a standard one. And so, yeah, the only stuff I got is I don't even have GDAL foreign data wrapper, I guess, on it. Or no, I guess that's it. So, yeah, not much in way of extensions. And when you do a restore on newer versions of Postgres, what versions did you say you're on?
Well, the new one is 14, but the newest one I used so far was 12.
Okay, this is 15. It'll probably work okay. And
it might be worth us just upgrading straight to 15 since this is a new machine.
Yeah.
My experience, having generally kept my own local one fully up to date, is that they're really good about not doing breaking changes. So
I agree with that 100%.
New Postgres versions sometimes add useful functionality, sometimes improve performance, but
right.
I've never had an import from older one cause me problems.
So Eldon,
From older to newer.
Have you done a restore of newer databases into older instances?
No, that way around, I have had a complaint. Sometimes I've had to update a database to be able to use somebody's dump.
Yeah, usually when I had problems, then the cure was to do pure, you know, non-compressed SQL dumps. That worked, but the compressed ones not always worked. If
Well,
older ones.
A PG dump all, at least to my knowledge, produces, you know, SQL statements. It's not the compressed backup. And so I don't, you know, Elvin, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, when I do a regular Postgres backup of an individual county, I use that compressed format, the dot backup format.
Yeah.
But when I do a PG dump all, it's probably just me, I don't know. Anyway, when I do a PG dump all, it's you know, what you're calling uncompressed, and then I gzip it.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit handy because if you got anything weird like a table space or something, then you can run it through like sed or something like that.
Yeah.
And fix up any of that goofy crap. Okay, so speaking, well, before I forget, speaking of the PG restore, there's a couple additional things that you'll need to do to get Postgres going on your dev server and or to avoid errors when you do the PG restore. One is the full text search stuff. So this is the sorry. So this is version specific. So on yours, you know, you do 14 or 16 or whatever you're on. And you'll recognize them right away. But you would need, these are the synonym dictionaries. And there's three. You recognize them because you won't have them on your instance. In other words, French, German, Dutch, Danish, whatnot, come with your Postgres distribution. So the ones that I might have a couple notes to. So these three you won't have: Fremont, Fremont numWord, GIS, and
oh, Okay, so can you just copy those, or
Yeah.
so it's just a resource and Postgres would read that when it starts?
Right. They're just text files. But there's a fairly complex mechanism. Well, to me, it's complex. It's probably pretty logical to Paul Ramsey. There's a mechanism by which a Postgres database looks for these full text search files in this location. And when you do the restore, if that database is looking, for example, for GIS syntax, and it doesn't find it, it's going to throw an error. And it's kind of handy if you don't, if you avoid that error, because if you have to install the syntax or synonym rather dictionary after the fact, it's a little bit more hassle. On a dev machine, it doesn't matter. I mean, the only problem is that if you type in Bob, it won't find Robert. But nonetheless, it's sort of, it's one of two things that's sort of worth mentioning. The other thing that's worth mentioning is every county's database. See, I just swear that Zoom is screwing me up. I cannot click. There's
Weird.
all these things I keep clicking on, and it's like I can't click.
Doesn't want to.
Okay, there we go. This sort of bugs me. I don't know why this happens, but when you do a PG restore, well, when you do a PGA backup, there are a bunch of different parameters you can set on a database, and the search path is the only one I use, but it doesn't get written to the backup and it doesn't get restored. And so for each one, you'll need to go and create the search path. And that's easy to do after the fact. So that doesn't matter. We can talk about, I actually have a shell script I'll find somewhere that I know we're going to have to talk more like tomorrow or Friday about some of these little, some of these pissant little things that you've got to do to get this all running on your server. And I will share, I got a little thing somewhere that, it's kind of convenient. It just lists. In fact, I think I even have it set up so that it will, I don't know, I'll set the search path for all of them. In other words, it'll read the search paths on the production server and write them into a new server. But those are two things. And then the third thing is, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, or don't know how to do it, is when you do a PG dump all, it'll create all your users or logins or whatever you call them, but it won't have the passwords. And
Really? No problem.
the Postgres user is no problem because you'll already have a Postgres user with your password on it. So that's no worries. And then the only other one that we use a lot is PG select only. And so it's a read-only user. That's what the web uses. And the password on it is PG select only with what do you call it? Camel case. So the password is PG and then uppercase S in the select and uppercase O.
That PSO in capital.
PG is lowercase. And then a capital S and a capital O.
Okay.
So, like I said, it's a read-only user, and that's the one that, like, when you do the query, you do a full-text search, anything, any of the basic stuff that you need is that user. The other users, some of those are projects that have gone by the wayside, and there's just a couple others. I'll give you the passwords at some point. The other thing, if you guys use PG Bouncer,
I haven't used it yet. I know about
no.
it, but I haven't used it.
nothing's going to work until you install PG Balancer.
Okay, never used that.
It's a connection pooling, and it's pretty critical for a couple reasons. One is, you know, just because you run out of connections, or else you have to set your Postgres connection limit unreasonably high, or, you know, whatever. And it also really speeds stuff up, because a shared connection only has to authenticate once. And it's pretty painless. You know, you just do apt install PG Balancer, and again, you know, get as far as with this as you want, and then just call me, or we can jump on a Zoom. But when you do an apt install PG Balancer, it'll create an etc folder, etc PG Balancer, and you can take a look at mine and pretty much copy and paste. The only thing is get the permissions right. It's, you know, it's kind of like an SSH kind of thing. It's pretty particular about, I mean, just set the, make sure the owner is Postgres, and make sure the read permissions aren't too generous on the other ones. But if I go, so this should start, you'll have all the counties memorized by the time you get to Rock Springs and get done with this. I mean, it's the same deal, basically. So the way it works is, you know, Postgres is run on port 5432.
Yeah.
And so anything that you do that hits the Postgres database creates a new connection to the database and authenticates that user against that database. And so connection pooling holds a connection open for a reasonable length of time. And so if you have 15 queries that come in to this database, they all just go to one connection, and mm-hmm. that connection is already authenticated. And so that's what PG Balancer is doing. And so the key thing is it's running on a different port, and you'll need on your dev server to set it up just like mine, because if we come back here and start drilling down a little bit more again on the counties, I keep going to sublet because it's one of the more difficult ones. So every folder, I mean, every county rather, is going to have the Apache config, like we talked about. Every county is going to have a map serve directory, and in it, every county will have a main map. In other words, that's the map file, which, you know, you guys are used to looking at. All this is the metadata stuff for setting the D-legend.
Yeah, that's something.
It's pretty cool. I took an initial stab at documenting some of it. I know Eldon read that. And just throw more questions at me, and I can continue to flesh them out in that Google Doc. You know, we'll just make that the documentation for it. And so importantly, every county has a PG config or PG con.map. And so this gets included into the map file, so that if, you know, if you have 15 layers that are coming out of Postgres, you don't have to put the connection string into each one of them.
Oh, and really? I've always wondered about that. I always have it in each layer.
Yeah. So it's nice because you state your connection type, so you don't have to repeat that.
So how does it look for the layer then? There's no information about the connection type and connection anymore?
Yeah, so if we go,
because I was wondering about that, but I never knew.
So okay, I'm going to answer your question. Just so like I say, every one of them has this main.map, which is referenced through the environment variable that's set in Apache.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the counties that have more stuff going on, there'll be a layers subdirectory with includes. And so I'm going to switch back real quick to the main map. And so
these are us.
So
everything is included here.
Yeah. Well, not everything. You can see there's 800 lines in the main file.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So there's some stuff that I just know, like, yeah, I got to use it everywhere. And then there's some stuff that's, you know, needs to be separated out. And it's not super consistent. You know, it's one of those things where I've tried different approaches over the years. And sometimes I like includes and sometimes I hate includes. But at any rate, if there's includes, it'll generally be in a layers subdirectory. And so here I'm including the assessor map file. And so here's the assessor map file. And then if I go, so here's a layer, okay? And so it's coming out of Postgres. And so I include the pgcon.map file. And so it's it defines the connection type.
Okay.
It defines the connection string. And so, oh, again, here, if you forget what I said about the password.
Well, here, you have it here.
Yeah.
Also, basically, you need to include it in every layer, but that's then just this one.
Correct? Exactly.
Okay.
But this is how come I say you got to have that port 6543.
Mm-hmm. Which is the PG Bouncer listen port, right?
Right. And then the connection defer, I don't know that that matters very much. I think
in a new map server, it doesn't matter anymore, but maybe in the old one.
Well, and I think with PG Bouncer, it's probably a non-issue too.
Okay, so did you find that this PG Bouncer helps with map server performance, connecting to the database? And
oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's a really low cost performance boost, I guess is the way you'd phrase it. In other words, PG Bouncer is not hard to set up.
Hmm.
And just copy and paste what I've got and just make sure that the owner of those files is Postgres. And it'll, you know, it's quite easy. You know, the main thing is just that you get that port, and I chose 6543. I don't know why I chose that exactly. I think in the documentation they use a slightly different port, but again, I've got it in too many places.
You just added one digit to the 5432 individually.
Yeah, well, it made sense to me at the time. Somebody else did it differently. So again, looking at a county, so those are just stumbling blocks where if you rsync everything over to your dev server, then you should be able to do an Apache, you know, restart, and you should get to an index page for every one of those counties with that URL. In other words, your domain / sublet / map server, your domain / Albany, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you will get errors. And so some of those errors will be Postgres. And I think I've kind of remembered the ones. You know, so you'll have to fetch my PG dump all, and you'll have to restore it, and you'll have to get the PG Bouncer set up, and you'll have to get the synonyms, and you'll have to get the the paths. You guys obviously use pgAdmin, right?
Yeah.
So again, with those shared keys, you can, you know, you go server, create, and then, you know, create or register, I guess, the server. So this is in your pgAdmin. You go create a server and call it Greenwood Map or whatever the hell you want to call it, right? And then to connect to it, I think I have to, no, maybe we'll see what last you do this. You use the SSH tunnel. And so it'll look weird because you're going to connect to my server, but you're going to use localhost and you're going to use 5432. Have you done, tell me if
yeah, I'm, that's how I usually set things up when I'm a remote server.
I've used it.
In other words, you're familiar with all this, right, Eldon?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I'm kind of with the HHN tunnel. I used it once, but that's years ago.
Well, Carson, it won't work for you until you give me your key.
Yeah, I'll need to get it to you, and then.
But everything, like the SVN, Postgres, rsync, shelling in, everything depends on that SSH key. And so, since I've loaded Eldon's public key in, then he can do all this kind of stuff. And so, what I'm getting at is that if you in your pgAdmin, you know, register my server, then you can go to each of the individual counties and you can see the search path.
Okay, so it can be
and that's just a copy and paste, or like I said, I've got a shell script that you can do it a little bit more bulk. Okay, so let's say that you have got, you've rsync to your dev server, and let's say that you got Postgres and PG Bouncer running. The next thing that won't work is PHP. And there's so
one question I was just wondering, have you been using Map Server CGI or FCGI?
Definitely FCGI.
Because I've never used that so far, but I heard it should be faster.
Oh yeah, you pretty much got to. It's again, it's really easy to set up. You can, you know, copy and paste my config stuff. It's a huge performance boost.
Oh, you really, really feel that compared to the other one?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
good to know. There was a lot of things we can also use for the or other stuff to learn from. So.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be important, and now with version 8, I'd say, well, more to the point with Proj, I don't know, starting in version 7 or 8, for all practical purposes, it's mandatory. Because if you're running Map Server 8, or if you're running new versions of Proj, it's more critical than it used to be. I mean, more critical to the point of saying it's mandatory. I mean, it's particularly Proj, but also this new config stuff with Map Server 8.
I looked at that only a couple of weeks back when I set up somebody with Map Server, another client, and I was fighting the Map Server 8 where I didn't know about this config file, and then found out about it. And then with the Proj, you know, the newer versions are a little bit more difficult to put in your own map projections. It's not so straightforward as just putting a text string in it anymore. So that was a little bit I was fighting with that before, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're taking over my servers on October 1st. You don't have to sweat some of the stuff since I've already worked through it. But in terms of the fast CGI, well, let me talk, let's circle back on that in just a moment. The stuff that won't work on your dev server in PHP is have you used AdoDB?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a just a have you used the PHP database wrapper, what's it called? Shoot, I can't remember. Have you used any wrapper on your database in PHP?
No, or did we, Eldon?
I didn't think so.
Shoot, I can't think of what it's called, but the wrapper abstracts the database a little bit.
Okay.
So it's kind of handy if you need to have different database backends and you want to have the same code run on different ones. And it provides you with some conveniences.
Is it a separate install or what is that then?
So AdoDB is something Daniel Morissette put me on to decades ago. And it was before, I'm struggling to remember what it's called now. So PHP for any given database has drivers that you have to install. And the drivers give you know, all the different things you need to connect and query and update the database for that database. In other words, Postgres versus Oracle versus Microsoft SQL Server versus Informix versus DB2 versus everything else under the sun. And it's great. But if you need to write code, like I had to have this thing run on Postgres and SQL Server. And so there's, you know, a bunch of little pissant differences between the two. And so you have, you know, a million little exceptions in your queries or whatever. But if you use a wrapper like AdoDB or the one that I can't remember the name of,
Is it an
it
SQL Alchemy?
I've heard of that. I think that's, I don't know what that is.
It does kind of abstract it to, so what I think that, kind of takes away the nitty-gritty differences between the database and the SQL kind of dialect, so that you can just.
Yeah, that's what we're talking. So anyway, AdoDB is one of those. And now if I was doing it again, I would use the one that I can't remember the name of, but it's not Alchemy. Alchemy is like AdoDB and it's a third-party thing, but PHP itself has you can find it on Google or whatever, but there's at any rate.
So is AdoDB then an installation for PHP or it's standalone thing kind of?
It's all PHP.
Okay, so it's an PHP extension kind of or module or how do you call it?
So you load the PHP. Let me see if I can find one real quick.
Okay. So basically, instead of installing all these individual kind of connectors, you can just install that one, or do we still need the other ones?
Oh no, you have to have, you'd already have it, right? Because you're already using Postgres on PHP.
I've PGSQL, I mean, I have the PHP PGSQL extension or whatever it's called, yeah.
Okay, here it is. Yeah. Again, I'm looking at one of the more complex ones, so don't sweat if this looks weird. So the driver you're already going to have installed, assuming that you have a project where you're already accessing Postgres from PHP, you've installed the basic database driver. And so what I'm doing here is I'm installing a wrapper that's just a bunch of straight PHP that handles my connections and handles a lot of my queries. And it's a convenience thing. It's pretty nice. It's well maintained. The ADODB actually steals the name from a Microsoft product with pretty much the same name. But this is the PHP one. It's open source. And so I always include or require this library. Okay. So it's just a straight up require. And then once I've got it, I've created a class or an instance or something. I'm not sure exactly. And so then I create a connection to it. And then from this point on, it should look pretty familiar. It's a connection to the database. And so you'll be with the connection string I've authenticated against the database, the connection string is going to have that PG bouncer 6543 port. And then when I execute my SQL, I'll be calling the ADODB versions as opposed to the Postgres specific ones. So okay. If you want to swap in SQLite or Microsoft SQL Server or what have you, you wouldn't have to change. In theory, you wouldn't have to change anything except the connection string. So anyway, what I was getting at was that in the user share PHP directory on a Linux server, there's a bunch of extensions or libraries, or I'm not sure quite what the right term is, but you will need to install all the ones that I've got. And that's pretty easy because, again, you have access to my server. And, you know, so you can, you'll start getting PHP errors. Like if you do a search, it'll fail. And you may, I'm struggling to remember what the new database wrapper is. But at any rate, you would need to install ADODB. At some point, you'll need to install data tables, although that's not super critical. And you'll need this symlink to Greenwood Map is just the namespace we use for our PHP modules and so on. So again, I guess, the theme here is like, start out by rsyncing and then see what errors you get and copy and paste from one server to the other and see if you can make the errors go away.
Yeah.
And in that process, you'll certainly gain, a lot of familiarity with some aspects of it, maybe not, the ones you're more interested in, but
the administrative side of the stuff. I will create this key, and then probably I'm not sure if how much time I will have tomorrow to dive into it because Eldon has a lot of meetings. But definitely, if I can't do as much as I would like to tomorrow because there's other things to catch up on, then I will do it, during next week and just shoot you a message once I get stuck or something.
Right. Next week I'll be a little less available, but
I know that, but you know,
whatever.
if you have in the evening 10 minutes to answer an email, that's already enough for me.
Yeah, I also bet the two of us can figure out most of this from what you told us.
Right. I mean, you've got, you have full access to the production server, and it's just sometimes deciphering the error message and figuring out, where to go to remedy it is,
Yeah, I'm pretty much a, I'm not an administrator of servers, but I kind of became a de facto administrator of servers by necessity. Basically, a little bit how you find on PhosphorG, there was this workshop. It's called the Accidental Database Administrator. Somebody ran that under that name, and I'm kind of the accidental server administrator. So just practically, I can do stuff. But sometimes I run into trouble if there's something I've never heard of. So
Were you at the accidental database administrator in Portland?
yes, I was there. I was this a guy running that. I was in that workshop, and then after, I don't know, an hour, I was so tired and bored by the presentation that I left it.
Oh, well, see, Carol and I sat there in the back row and stuck it out the whole time.
Yeah, it would have been useful, but I was just so tired, and then I went somewhere else.
Let me look at this agenda. I mean, I know there's things I already haven't shown you. Do you want to? Well, if you guys want to keep going for a little bit more, I'll keep surfing on a county.
I think it's good enough for me. I'm kind of
Yeah, I'm sort of approaching saturation, I must admit.
Okay, very good.
I think it's probably would be time to get my hands dirty and do something to run
Yeah.
into some errors, some meaningful errors.
Okay, well, I've already finished my first beer and I'm looking for my second one, so we can sign off and
That sounds pretty
we
good.
can
Yeah.
check in on Friday.
Yeah. And Carsten, if you want to dive in and try things, email me if you have any trouble. I will be reachable by email most of the time, most of
Okay,
the
I'll
rest of the
see
day and
how much
tomorrow.
time I can make. I
Yeah.
probably will want to, finish the upgrade of the server. And since I'm
Yeah, that makes
already
sense.
doing it from 12 to 14, I can also skip the 14, just install 15 and have it the
Yeah.
same. Then that would be good. And then I can install the PG Bouncer, kind of the tsearch synonyms, the AudioDB, and so on, and then get the stuff synced. After I will send you the key sometime this evening. So,
On that, if you're going to install a newer version of Postgres, you may as well just go straight to 16.
I can check. I don't even know what the newest version is.
Yeah, 16 is out.
Well,
I
17 will be out at the end of the month.
Oof. I think I
Yeah,
will just
although I'm always
running a
shy of
couple.
installing the very earliest release or something. So, but I would go to 16 because we're not going to have any problems restoring a 15 dump to 16. And then it's
I
just some
wasn't even
feature
aware
proofing.
that such new versions, I was probably always running a couple of years behind. So.
Well, and the deal is too, I'm running 16 on my laptop and on my dev server. And that's why I suggest just on your dev server at least, just go straight to 16.
Yeah,
And
I'll do that.
if you do, well, whatever. It's just if you're going to go to the trouble of installing,
Yeah, probably just make it new because.
frankly, if you're running 2204 on your dev server, I go ahead and update that to 2404.
I can do
Yeah.
that because I just did the last step, so I'm pretty familiar with what was needed. The only nothing was trouble except for the database was a little bit more, but other than that, really easy.
I mean, I always try to keep my dev server and my laptop and so on the newer versions. And that way I'm kind of trying to future proof by doing that. So my suggestion would be
Oh,
on your
that reminds me of actually a question for Eldon, because I talked with Eldon this morning. We have Bill doing stuff, and what do you think about going to a newer version of open layers than in general?
Definitely.
That'll bite you. That can bite.
The thing is, we have this other employee who will have the time to actually go through and like check breaking changes. So that's why I'm kind of keen to have him do this while he's around.
So would you rather go from by one step at a time and check each one?
Honestly, might as well just go to the latest. It'll be a longer list of breaking changes, but
Okay.
it's
Only just the same.
less work in the end to do it in one pass.
Yeah, because I forgot to ask that this morning. Okay, but I mean, Richard, I'm, excited about this all, not only getting your stuff, but learning other things, because if you look at somebody's workflow and knowledge, then because I think we all kind of, we have exchange, and I talked to Eldon and others, but so for some part, we are working in a box and doing our own things over and over again and don't get input from what could we do better with certain things. That's pretty exciting to upgrade some of the things and, learning, even though I'd used Map Server for like 15 years, there's stuff that I just don't know because I never needed it or stuff like that. That's exciting to get new things,
Sure. I mean, I will. I mean, I'm not going to be shy about telling you the mistakes I've made either. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that I'm really proud of, but I can't help but looking at things and going, I wish I'd done that differently, but it's too much of a pain in the ass to change it now. So,
Yeah, that's all fine. We won't. That's I know how that is. I set up things, and at some point you decide something, be it a directory structure or whatever, and then you keep it because it's just so much of a pain to change everything.
Okay, well, we'll shoot me an email. I'm going to be tied up tomorrow morning or midday at least. And then we'll plan on reconnecting on Friday.
Okay, cool.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
Thank
Rich,
you.
for all the information. That's
Okay, have a good evening.
You too.
You
Go
too.
ahead.